remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. Look at the 14th verse. I want to read the 14th verse also. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep. Everybody say keep.
Keep.
That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee. Keep by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want to put emphasis on verse 6 this morning. Paul says, I call to remembrance. He says, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in you. I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge all of us. I'm going to challenge myself. This message is for me as well as it is for you. This message is for the believer. And I believe we have believers here today. I believe we have believers that love the word, love God. I believe we have spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers today. Amen. And I want to encourage you that if you're not spirit-filled or tongue talkers, then at the end of the service, you can be. At the end of the service, you will be. Hallelujah. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God. How many know that we as Christians need to be stirred up? We need to be stirred up. Now, I'm a Bible-believing, New Testament-believing Christian. I believe that we are complete in Christ. I believe that the Bible teaches us that we have received all things that we need through Christ Jesus. Can you say amen?
Amen.
In fact, turn over to Colossians chapter 2. I want to read something here. I want to kind of lay a foundation before we preach and establish this truth. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8 through 10. Colossians chapter 2, I'm going to put that in your hearing. Well, verse 9 says, for in him, or in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in Christ dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now the 10th verse says, and ye are complete in him. Everybody say in him. Which is the head of all principalities and powers. Now, Jesus Christ, this verse is talking about Jesus. Jesus is complete. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is no lack in Jesus. Jesus is in the Father. The Father is in him. And Jesus is in him, and we're in Christ. Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he has been appointed high priest and mediator and intercessor over the New Testament and the New Covenant. There is no lack in Jesus. Can you agree with that? Jesus is complete, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But then the next verse says, and ye are complete in him. That means whatever Jesus has received, you have also. Jesus is complete in him, and you are in Jesus, so that means you are complete in him. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
But there's two kinds of truths in the Bible. There's what we call a positional truth, and then there's what we call a practical or a temporal truth. Now, a positional truth is who you are, where you are, what you have, and what you can do in Christ Jesus. You don't have anything to do with positional truths. God did it all for you. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 and 4, it says, he has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. You are complete in him. You have everything you need to do everything you're called to do, to be everything that you're called to be. You're a finished product. Amen?
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God has finished the product. Amen? Amen? That's a positional truth. See, positionally speaking, you are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. There's nothing you can do about that. You can't take that away. You can't add nothing to that. Positionally speaking, you have been made the righteousness of God. Positionally speaking, you're seated this morning in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. But temporally speaking, you're seated right here today at Living Faith Church. Amen. Temporally speaking. Positionally speaking, you are light in the Lord. But temporally speaking, Paul says, walk in the light. You have to walk in the light. Positionally speaking, you're complete in him. But I'm here to tell you there are some things that God left up for you to do. God left some things for you to do. He did his part. The Bible says he's already given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. Everybody say, I'm complete in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But see, there are some things you have to do. There are some things you have to add to your faith. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. This is foundation before I preach. I'm not preaching right now. I'm trying to get a foundation in you. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 1. Now notice 2 Peter chapter 1. It talks about the good things that God has did for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. I love this verse of scripture. The name of our show that will be airing next year, starting in February, is called the Epinosis Broadcast. The Epinosis Broadcast. Epinosis means exact, precise, full, accurate, revealed knowledge. Amen. And so that's what Peter is talking about. Let's read it. I want to show you something before I preach this morning. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now he's writing to them who have obtained like precious faith. He's not writing to people who's trying to get faith. He's not writing to people that's wishing for faith. He's writing to people who has already obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody say, I have it. You see, he's writing to you then. This letter belongs to you because you have faith. Faith is the most precious thing the Lord could have given to you. Amen. He's given unto you like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he goes on to say, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Now how? Through the knowledge. Grace and peace. Grace is everything that God has provided for you in Christ Jesus. Grace is anything that leaves heaven and gets to you. That's grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is everything. Anything that left heaven and made it to you came to you in a form of grace. Hallelujah. God so loved the world, he gave Jesus. That's grace. The Holy Ghost in you is grace. The Holy Ghost upon you is grace. The nine fruit of the Spirit is grace. The nine gifts of the Spirit is grace. The name of Jesus is grace. Anything that God has given to you, exceedingly great and precious promises in the Word of God, that's grace. 66 books, that's grace. 31,173 verses, that's grace. 1,189 chapters, that's grace. Everything that God has given to you is grace. He's given you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, that's grace. He's given you one another, that's grace. He's given you husbands and wives, that's grace. He's given unto us. Things that pertain unto life and godliness. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. He's already given you everything. See, you're complete in him.
Yes.
Now be careful. I'm setting you up for something big here. Now listen to me. Paul, he always, I'm a southerner from Louisiana. You can tell that. Paul, he always preached the positional truths before he dealt with the temporal truths. He always, in all of his epistles, he built people up. He told them who they were in Christ Jesus. He told them what they had in Christ. Then he told them what they could do in Christ. And then he turned right around and said, now walk in it and act like it and talk like it. Can you say amen? Amen. God has given unto you all things through his grace. Look at the next verse. Grace. You see, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How? Through the knowledge. You see, it would do God no good, and it benefits you none at all to have all things given to you if you don't have the knowledge of them. If you don't know about it, it's null and void. It's in vain. You can have all of these exceedingly great and precious promises, but don't have the knowledge of it, then what good is it to you? You see, God has given you grace. Are you listening to me early? God has given unto you grace already. By grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. But you see, some people just stop with salvation. Some people get born again and don't go any farther. Sure, you're born again. Sure, you're a child of God, but don't stop right there. You can get more grace. James chapter 4, verse 5 says, God resists the proud, but he gives more grace. Everybody say more grace. Well, more grace. God continually administers grace to the believer. You can get as much grace as you want, as you able to receive. You get more grace every time you go to the Father in his presence. Every time you go into heaven, there's a room up there called the throne room of grace. And every time you come in there and every time you leave out of there, you leave out with more grace than you had before you came in. Can you say amen? Amen. The Bible says, come boldly unto the throne room of grace that you may find mercy and obtain grace to help in a time of need. Amen. Amen. So you can get more of it. The only thing you have to do is just keep coming to the Father. Keep coming to the Father. Keep coming to the Father. Because the Bible says God is rich in grace. Are you listening to me? I'm going to quote a few scriptures before I preach. Did you know this is not what I come to tell you? This is not what I come to tell you, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Write these verses down. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 7 says, in him we have the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches, the forgiveness of sin through his blood in Christ Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sin by his blood, according to the riches of his grace. God is rich in grace. And grace means, rich means an abundant supply. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 says, but now unto, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10 says, the God of all grace. In other words, nobody has any grace but God. No sense in you going to the bank looking for grace. No sense in you going to lawyers or politicians or whoever it is you go to over here looking for grace. Because the only grace to be found is from God. The Bible says he's the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace, and he's rich in grace. And come boldly to the throne room of grace, and he gives more grace. And he keeps giving grace. And he keeps giving grace. And he keeps giving grace. Amen? Amen? Now, going back to 2 Peter, I want you to see what I'm talking about before I tell you what I'm talking about. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So that verse is telling us we can get more of it. Grace and peace can be multiplied unto you. Grace and then peace. Everything that God has provided for you can be multiplied unto you. Well, now how? How? Well, that scripture reveals unto us how it works. Grace and peace. Now, the word peace here means prosperity. It means to increase, to prosper, to be whole, to be sound, to increase in whatever God has given you, increase it. Whatever you have received from God, walk in it. Are you listening? You remember the lady in John's Gospel chapter, in Mark's Gospel chapter 5? The lady with the issue of blood that got healed? The lady that touched the garment of Jesus and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up? You remember that lady? You remember Jesus said something to that lady in John, in Mark chapter 5, verse 34? He says, go in peace. He says, lady, thy faith has made thee whole. Her faith made her complete. But then he says, now go in peace and be made whole. Your faith has made thee whole. Now go in peace. Your faith got the journey started. Now go prosper and get everything back that you're supposed to have. Go walk. See, that lady has spent all that she had. She was in despair. She was broke. She spent all of her money. She was sick. She had been shed away because of her hemorrhaging, her condition. She lost everything. The devil came to rob her of her health, to steal, to kill, and destroy. He took her health. He took her money. He took her mind. He took her dignity. She was quarantined. You can't come out in the public. The devil has stolen her personality, her mind. But faith made the connection. By faith, Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. That Greek word means healed. Your faith has got you healed. Now go in peace, go prosper, go increase, go walk in health, go get back everything that the devil stole from you. Hallelujah. You have it, now go get it back. Walk it out. You see, grace says you already have everything, but you have it through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. Grace and peace is multiplied. How? Look at that verse. Verse 2, through the knowledge. Everybody say, through the knowledge. Now, that's the Greek word there, that's epinosis, that's translated knowledge in that verse. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of him. That means the more knowledge of him that you gain in life, the more grace that you'll receive, the more grace that you'll benefit from, and the more peace you'll walk in. But it is to the degree of intake of knowledge of God's word. Everything that God has provided for you is no good if you don't know about it. Everything that God has did for you is no good if you don't cultivate it. You see, you are complete in him, but if you don't know that you are, what good is it? If somebody died and left you $1 million or 1 million pounds and you don't know that they did, what good is it? You're a broke millionaire because you hadn't cashed in on your inheritance. Say amen. Verse 3 says, according as his divine power, according as his divine power have given unto us, how many things? How many? Well, is that true or not? Is that a lie or is that the truth? Well, it's the truth, isn't it? He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Amen. But now how do we get in on that? Notice, through the knowledge. Notice, through the knowledge of him that's called us to glory and virtue. Well, if you don't know about the all things, what good is it? It doesn't benefit you any. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. There's the promises. That's grace. That by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God has given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4 is talking about what God has already did for you. Now, those are shouting verses. You see, when I read verse 1, I shout, Simon Peter. You ever shouted about Simon Peter? I get happy by reading Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle. I stop and shout right there. Hallelujah, glory to God. And then he says, I'm writing to them who have obtained like precious faith. I get excited about them because I'm one of them. I said, I'm one of them. Verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4 are shouting verses. Those are verses that God did. It's easy to shout on stuff God did. You don't have to do anything. Just shout about it. You read something God did, you get happy. Just shout. Woo! Glory to God. According to his divine power hath given unto me all things. Well, I'll just stop and shout about the all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Just shout about it. Get happy about it. Then I go to verse 4. Whereby are given unto me exceeding great and precious promises. Well, I go in another shouting spell. You got to get happy about the Bible. I mean, there's nothing else. I mean, there's nothing else to give you but the Bible. You got to get it. If this don't work, nothing else will. And so these are shouting verses. You just shout about them. But wait a minute. 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 Verse 5 starts to deal with you. Now you got to do something. Look at verse 5. And besides all this, given all diligence, add to. Uh-oh. I thought we was complete in him. Yes, we are. Positionally speaking, we are complete in him. But I have a responsibility. God has done everything he's going to do for me, positionally speaking. But I have the responsibility of cultivating, applying, believing, and walking in it. Amen. Besides all this, giving all diligence. Now notice what it says. Add to your. Say that. Add to your. Now personalize it. Say add to mine. See, I already have faith. I already have it. If I didn't have it, I couldn't add something to it. You can't add something to something you don't have. I must have faith because the Bible tells me add to your. Your shows ownership, so I got faith. So then it's my responsibility to do something on my part. You see, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3, verse 4, God did something. Those are shouting verses. But verse 5 says, wait a minute, calm down. Now you add something. Add to your faith. Now notice what it says, virtue. Virtue means moral energy. Virtue means heroics. Virtue means living right. See, my faith will work better if I'm not drunk. Yes, it will. My faith works better when I'm not lying. My faith works better when you don't commit adultery, or lie, or cheat, or steal. Say amen.
Amen.
Well, you want to know how come? Because those things bring condemnation in your life.
Yes.
And condemnation is a robber or a persecutor of your faith.
Yes.
Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. The first thing that the Bible says we ought to add to our faith is virtue. Amen. Now, I like the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible reads this way. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue. Employ every effort to exercise your faith and virtue. Amen. Employ every effort. Now, you know, and I know, that there's a positional truth that's true for all of us, but you know and I know, temporally speaking, we're all in different areas. Because some people read more than others. And some people pray more than others. And some people give more than others. And some people go to church more than others. And so, therefore, we all are at various levels of spiritual growth and development based upon what you did, not what God has done. Because positionally speaking, we're all the same. But temporally speaking, we're different at different levels. Because somebody is staying up at night reading the Word of God, and somebody is staying up at night watching television. Because somebody is reading the Word of God and somebody is on Twitter or Facebook playing games. Because somebody is going out of their way to employ every effort to the divine promises to develop, and some people are not. And so then, therefore, God ministers to us based upon your effort, based upon what you do, not what he has done. Because he loves all of us the same. There's no difference. I'm one of his favorite kids, but he loves all of us the same, but I'm one of his favorites. I don't mind telling you that. I'm one of his favorites. Somebody said, well, now how you know that? Well, he told me. And if you get closer to him, he'd tell you the same thing. He told me I was the apple of his eye. Hallelujah. Giving all diligence, add to your faith. My, I like how the Amplified Bible reads that. Notice, I want to quote it again. It said, for this reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises. Employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy. Go out of your way to do it. Go out of your way to add to it. Amen. You see, you are complete in him, but there are some things you need to do to stir yourself up. To stir yourself up. Paul told Timothy, he says, stir up the gift of God which is in you. Stir up the gift of God. How many? I don't know about you. I've been in ministry. I'm in my 33rd year. And I can tell you there are times in my life when I was doing better than others. There are times in my life where I read more. There are times in my life when I prayed more. There are times in my life when I fasted more. There are times in my life where I was more in the spirit than in the flesh. There are times in my life when I did better. There are times in my life when I was up. There are times in my life when I was down. Amen. I've forgotten more Bible than I know today. Because of lack of diligence. There was a time when I would read the Word of God for hours and hours and hours. And then I would pray in the Holy Ghost for hours and hours and hours. I would read a chapter and pray in tongues and then come back and quote that whole chapter. I've forgotten more Bible than I know today over 33 years. Because there are times when I'm up giving all diligence. There are times when I'm not. There are times when I would run water in the bathtub as hot as you could stand it. You know, you can't stand it too hot in some places. Say amen then. And I'd get in the tub and I'd run my water about 11 o'clock at night and I'd hold the Bible up in the tub and I'd read the Bible till 1, till 12 o'clock and 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. I'd read the Bible till the water goes cold. Then I'd turn the hot on again and get it heated back up. Then I'd read some more. Now, what am I doing? I'm giving all diligence. I'm going out of my way, employing every effort. There are times when I was cutting the grass. We call it mowing the lawn. And whenever there was a time for a break, I'd pull out my New Testament and I'd read another chapter and a couple of chapters. And I would study the Word of God between breaks. There are times when I was in college. Now, I was at college, but I wasn't in college. You know what I mean by that? I was over there, but I wasn't in there. And they sent me home, you know. Yeah, they sent me home after a semester. I appealed and went back. They sent me back home, said, now don't ever come back again. And I didn't come back. Amen. You know, the Bible said God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I was foolish. He chose me. I qualified. Amen. You might be doing good in life. If you're not called to preach, you may be doing good in life. There's nothing else I could do. He called me to preach. Say amen. But there are times when I worked in the cafeteria. And I worked with the athletes, the football team, the basketball team. And during the lunch hour rush, I worked in the kitchen on the dishwasher. And the trays would come through real dense at certain times of the day. We call it the noon rush or this rush or that rush. And you'd have to get the glasses off the trays. You'd have to get the forks and the utensils. And then you'd have to dump the tray, throw the tray. And you're working on the line. You had to work real fast. Well, there were times when that belt would be going by me. There's not a tray on it. During that time, I had the Word of God pulled out. I'm reading the Word of God. Every now and then a tray comes by. Throw the silverware up there, put the cups up there, put the glass over there, slide the tray down. Hallelujah. Just, you know, you're just giving. Everybody say, giving all diligence. See, there are times when I did better than other times. There are times when I was backslidden. Yeah, backslidden. I was out of the will of God for 4 years, 1991 to 1995. Now, see, some of you look at me in that tone of voice. See? Well, that preacher said he was out of the will of God. Yeah, I was out of the will of God for 4 years of my life. Well, can you be out of the will of God for 4 years? Yes, yes, yes. You've been out of the will of God longer than that and just don't know it. Amen. I met a preacher. I was going in the post office. I like the metal preachers. I'll get to him in a minute. I like the metal preachers. I was going in the post office. I spoke to Brother Connors, Brother Floyd Connors, pastor of the Church of God and Prophecy. How you doing, Mr. Connors? How you doing, Brother Strawn? I walked past him, checking the mail in the post office. He said, how you doing, Brother Strawn? I say, fine, I'm just out of the will of God. And he stopped. It paralyzed him. And he looked at me with a wild-eyed Pentecostal look. Now, I knew exactly what he was going to do. He was coming to pray for me because I'm out of the will of God. He was heading toward me with a wild look in his eye. He's going to lay hands on me and get me back in the will of God. See? And I said, oh, no, 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 no. I say, oh, I'm fine, Brother Connors. I'm fine. I say, the only difference between me and you is I'm out of the will of God and know it, and you out of the will of God and don't know it. You know, you can be out of the will of God and don't know it. Yeah. The most peaceful thing in life, sobering, peaceful thing in life, is to be out of the will of God and know it. Hallelujah. God can take care of you if you know it. But the most dangerous thing in life is to be out of the will of God and don't know it. And don't know it. Amen. See, there are times when you can backslide and don't know it. Well, I'm not talking about robbing a bank. Anybody robbed a bank lately? No. I'm not talking about killing somebody. Anybody killed anybody lately? I'm not talking about committing adultery. Anybody? No, don't answer that. I'm not talking about committing fornication. Anybody? No, don't answer that. I'm not talking about lying or stealing or killing or robbing a bank or committing adultery. See, those are the big things. See, people go, oh, those are big things. Oh, he robbed the bank. No, I'm not talking about that. But you can be backslidden and don't know it. Now, how can you? Well, you don't even have to slide to be backslidden. God can move on this way, and you didn't move with him. And God kept moving. God's moving, folks. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the Spirit of God moved. God's been moving since Genesis 1:1. Two-thirds of God's name is go. If you get in touch with God, you're moving in some direction. Say amen to that. And so God can move and you not do anything. And you look up 4 or 5 years later, you backslidden. The only difference is you didn't slide to get back there. You just stayed there and God moved on. So you don't have to slide to be back. You just back. Say amen to that. Amen. Yeah, you just back and you don't know you're back. And so then, to regress or to not progress is just as bad as the regress. You still go nowhere. If you're not increasing, you're decreasing. Because God is moving all the time. Say amen to that. Amen. Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift of God which is in you. If there wasn't a necessity or a need to stir it up, Paul never would have told Timothy to stir it up. But he said, stir it up. Amen. Amen. I like the Amplified Bible. You see, he's talking about fanning the flames. He's talking about stirring yourself up in God. You have to do that on your own. It's not your pastor's responsibility. It's your responsibility to keep yourself stirred up. Are you listening to me? The Amplified Bible reads this way. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, the Amplified Bible. Now listen to this, it'll bless you tremendously. When Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift of God, the Amplified Bible says, "This is why I would remind you to stir up, to rekindle the embers, to rekindle the embers of, fan the flames of, and keep burning." To rekindle the embers of, to fan the flames of, and to keep burning. How I like that. We got what we call, do you all barbecue over here? We barbecue and charcoal and lighter and fluid. Grilling is big in Texas, Louisiana. I mean, we'll grill anything. You know, if you find it, we'll throw it on the grill. You know, roadkill, anything dead, grill it, you know. Anything left in the refrigerator, grill it, you know. Put it on the grill. Just throw it on the grill. You got eggs, grill it, you know. Just throw it on the grill. Well, very often when you're grilling and you get your coals going, and there are times when your coals are more heated up than others. There are times when the coals can get so hot, they ignite in the flame. And then times when that flame goes down. But you can just get over those coals and just fan it. Woof, you'll get a flame again. We burn leaves. I lived out in the county, and whereas in town it's unlawful to burn trash. But out in the county, we can burn trash. So in the fall of the year, the leaves fall, and we had a lot of trees in the yard, and I'd have the boys get out. They hated the fall because it's time to rake leaves. And we get out there, and we got to rake leaves. We got to rake piles and piles of leaves. Well, we just burn them, you see. Pick up little sticks and branches, throw them on the pile and burn it. We put some gasoline on, woof, and we got a good fire. Well, and I would tell one of the boys, now, your job is to keep this fire going because it'll go out. It'll burn a little bit and go out. And so when the fire goes out, just take a rake and get over and just fan it a little bit. Just fan it. Boy, when you fan it, whoosh, you get an igniting in flames. You see, there are times when that fire is burning. There are times when it's smoking. There are times when it's hot. And if you leave it alone, it'll go cold. That's the life of the Christian. You see, if you're responsible for stirring yourself up, God doesn't stir you up. Paul told Timothy, "For this cause, rekindle the embers of, fan the flames of, and keep burning the gracious gift of God, the inner fire that is in you by means of the laying on of the hands of the presbytery." Keep burning that inner fire that is in you. You see, that fire can go out with the pressures, with the trials, with life, with things if you're married, with children, with a job, and the pressures of life, and going here, and going there, and doing this, and doing that. And yeah, you're showing up at church, but you're just warm, and you're not a fire. You see, those things in life can zap life out of you. I've been there. Oh, you look good. You look good singing. Oh, you look good praying. But the truth of the matter is the fire is going out. And you are, nobody else, you're responsible for fanning the flames, rekindling the embers, to stir up yourself. Amen. You're responsible to do that. If that was not possible, the Apostle Paul would not have had to admonish Timothy to do it. 14th verse, he said, "Keep by the Holy Ghost that thing which was deposited in you." By mere fact that the Bible tells us to keep something, that implies that you could lose it. The Bible says, "Hold fast to that which thou hast." And so if you don't hold it, you can lose it. You can lose it. The Bible talks about the parable of the sower. that these are they that heard the word, and it gave four categories of people. Number one, somebody heard the word and understood it not. Satan came immediately and stole the word. Number two, somebody else heard the word, and they were by and by, they received it with joy, but because persecution arise for the word's sake, they were offended, and they fell by the wayside. They were full of joy. They rejoiced at the word. Persecution and tribulation got the best of them. But then the third category, it said, these are they that heard the word and received it with gladness and went on to bring forth some fruit. But by and by, Luke's gospel said, by and by, because of the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, it didn't come all at once. It entered in, choked the word, and the word became unfruitful. This was a gradual, this was something gradual that happened. It was gradually something that happened. Folks, you have to hold on to the things of God. You have to fight for the things of God. Yeah, they're already yours, but you have to fight to maintain. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. Well, I thought you already had it. Yes, I do have it, but I have to embrace it. I have to lay hold on it. I have to fight the good fight of faith. I have to fight against the cares of this life. Fight against the things that are coming against my mind. Fight against the deceitfulness of riches. Fight against doubt and worry and fear. Fight against the economy. Fight the good fight of faith. My fight is a fight of faith. My fight is a fight to stand on what God has already declared that I am. So then I'm not fighting for victory. You're fighting from victory. You're not trying to get something you already have. You already have it. The victory that you have has to be maintained. Say amen to that. Amen. The main thing, the faith life basically is a life of standing. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. With your loins girded about with truth. Stand with the breastplate of righteousness. Stand with the helmet of strength. Stand. That you may be able to stand in the evil day against the wiles of the devil. The Christian life is a military standing life with the shield of faith, resisting the fiery darts of the wicked and keeping yourself fanned, keeping yourself stirred, because it's easy to watch television. It's easy to engage in sports. It's easy to not read the Bible. Reading the Bible is the hardest thing for Christians to do, even though you're coming to church. You're not reading the Word of God like you used to. Say amen. Amen. Reading the Bible is a spiritual thing. The devil, are you listening? The devil will do everything he can to keep you busy, but out of God's Word. Because when the attack is on, it's what you know and what you believe that's going to determine your stand. Not how much you go to church. Thank God for going to church. Amen. I have a gym membership, but having a gym membership doesn't mean I'm in shape. Oh yeah, I got a gym membership. I tell you, I got a gym membership. I've been having gym membership 10 years. Pot belly, out of shape, overweight, but I got a gym membership. Doesn't do any good. I'll go you one better. I can have a gym membership and show up at the gym. Having a gym membership and showing up at the gym doesn't make me Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah, I go to the gym and people come to the gym to talk. They talk about news events and sports and this and that and the weather. They're standing on treadmills talking. They're leaning on the bench talking about lifting weights. Coming to church doesn't mean that you're spiritual no more than showing up at a gym means you're in shape. You got to do something. Yeah, but God has given us all this fine gym equipment. Yes, he did. Isn't it nice? But you got to get on it. And you got to do, isn't it? Boy, I tell my that treadmill, I tell you, my God, that thing costs $1,500. Most finest treadmill in, look at that right there, finest treadmill you can buy. Do you get on it? Nope. I hang my clothes on it. See, you still have to do something. It is true that you have it, but practically speaking, you have to get on it. You have to stir yourself up. God doesn't do this for you. Paul told Timothy, you stir yourself up. Go over to Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64. Who's responsible then? Are you listening? Isaiah 64. Who's responsible then for stirring you up? Is it God? Is it the pastor? No. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 7. It says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquity. Now, I know this is an Old Testament statement, but I want the principle behind this word. There is none that stirreth up himself to call upon thee and to take hold. There's none that stirreth up yourself. See, this verse said, there's none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. You have to do that. God doesn't do that for you. You have to stir yourself in God. Amen. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 10. I want to give you a word here. I remember I was 2008. I've been pastoring this, my second church. I pastored 23 years altogether. I'm in my 23rd year pastoring two different churches, three different churches. And I got very complacent, pastor, trying to build a church. You know, a pastor can get busy. You got children's church, you got the nursery, you got the choir, you got worship, you got to deal with the parking lot, you got to deal with this, and you got to have some midweek services and prayer meetings, and you got to have some fellowship meals, and then you got to keep everybody happy and talk to people and be nice and smile and speak to people and eat periodically at people's homes. And you can get busy building a church and be backslidden in the middle of it. And so I had gotten very complacent. The church is doing good, and money is coming in. And I've just gotten real settled that I'm going to build this church and just I'm going to just pastor forever. I've just gotten real settled. I'm just going to be a nice, sweet pastor and just be a pastor. But see, that wasn't my calling. My calling is prophet and teacher. Prophet and teacher. Now, here recently, in 2012, the Lord talked to me about the apostolic ministry, the apostolic office, and I don't just go around putting labels on myself. Amen. The proof of the pudding should be in eating. If you're anything, you should have evidence. If you're a teacher, you should be able to teach. If you're a prophet, the gift of the prophet's anointing and office of ministry should be functioning in you. But so I had gotten complacent in that church and trying to build this church, and that's this lady that... This intercessor, she's on my board, and she prays for me extensively. And she fasts, she prays with fasting and prays for me. And the Lord, she was stirring herself up in prayer. And the Lord told her, call Anthony Strader. She lived about 52 miles away from me. Call Anthony Strader and tell him that I said to stir himself up to get back in the prophet's office. Stir himself up. Now, I knew exactly what she was talking about. Because I had gotten real complacent and comfortable with pastoring. But that's not my main ministry. That's not my main office. That's not my main call. My call is to raise up Bible schools, do world television, and train ministers to find their God-given place in Him. To lay hands on people. Impart the callings of God. Stir up the gifts of God. Impart the giftings and the callings of God. To stir up that. That's my main calling. Well, the Lord told her to tell him to stir himself up. Stir himself up to get back in the prophet's office. I don't know about you, but you can be in there and out of there. If you've been in ministry, there are times when you just feel more anointed. There are times when you feel less anointed. It doesn't have anything to do with God. It has more to do with you. What you're doing. Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you reading? Are you fellowshipping? Have you gotten comfortable, complacent, pushed the Bible aside, looking at it on Saturday nights to get a few scriptures out for a sermon? It can happen. Trust me. I fellowship with preachers. I eat with them. A lot of them are backslidden. They're sermonizing on the internet. They're getting downloads off the internet on Saturday nights. They're not listening to God. The congregations are starving. They got stale manner. You need something fresh. You need something fresh baked every morning. You need the life of God imparted into you. I'm responsible for that. I have to be an overseer. I have to be a diligent, responsible person to get fresh things from God to keep my congregation well fed and to develop them spiritually and grow them up. Say amen if you can.
Amen.
And so so the Lord said to her, stir him up. Tell him to stir himself up. Now here's what I did. I went back. There are several ways you can stir yourself up. I'm going to talk about some of them. I'm going to list some of them, then talk about some. Well, number one, praying in other tongues. Praying in other tongues. That's the one I want to major on. Number two, stir yourself up by go back and listen to some teaching that excited you years ago. Something that really captured your attention. Go back and listen to good teaching or read good books again. That's on the shelf. Number three, you can stir yourself up by way of remembrance. Remembering. We had some of that testimonial. Talking. Remembering things that when I need money, when I need thousands of dollars to come in, I just go stir myself up. I just go start talking about the times. Lord, you remember when I needed $6,000 and it came in. I remember when I needed $10,000, that came in. I remember when I needed $25,000, that came in. I remember when I needed $70,000, that came in. And at the end, I'm just spending time stirring myself up by way of remembrance. Boy, when I'm all done, I'm ignited in faith again. I'm ready to believe God again. I'm stirred up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But you have to stir it up. You have to stir it up. God doesn't do it for you. You stir it up. Amen? You ever read Hebrews? Hebrews chapter 6? Hebrews chapter... Chapter what? 7? 10? That's not what I said. That's not what I said. Oh, I was just testing to see what y'all listening. It's Hebrews chapter 6. It must say chapter 6. Now notice this, it said, verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation. Thus we speak, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name in that ye have ministered unto the saints and do minister. Look at verse 11. We desire that every one of you do show the same diligence. Everybody say diligence.
Diligence.
Now it says diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. How long do I have to be diligent? Until the end. Amen. Look at verse 12. That you be not slothful, but followers of them that who through faith and patience inherited the promise. That you be not slothful. Everybody say slothful. Now, Pastor, I thought slothful meant sloppy. I thought that slothful meant tuck your shirt in, clean up, pick up behind yourself, button your shirt up. I thought slothful meant sloppy. But as I looked that word up in the Greek and began to study it, the word slothful means loss of passion. Everybody say loss of passion.
Loss of passion.
Now, listen to me. The Bible says, don't have a loss of passion. Passion matters with God. Don't fool yourself. God wants you to serve him with passion.
Amen.
You think passion is not important? Let it leave your marriage. Your spouse will know it's gone. You don't kiss me in the morning like you used to. You don't hold the doors open for me anymore like you used to. You don't talk to me anymore like you used to. When passion leaves a marriage, that marriage is in trouble. Loss of passion can send a marriage into an affair or to the divorce court. Passion is a serious thing with God. You don't just come and serve God any way you want to. The Bible demands passion and joy. That you be not slothful, don't have a loss of passion. God wants to see some passion. I love to be around passionate people. My friends are passionate about the Lord. I don't like going to lunch with people that are not passionate about it. They're just casual with their devotion to God. They want to talk about everything but the Word of God. Well, I love you, but I don't want to eat with you. I don't mean you. I just mean somebody else. Don't get offended. They say amen.
Amen.
Passion matters with God. Serve the Lord with passion. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28, when it lists all of the blessings and the curse, blessed shall you be in the field, blessed shall you be in the store, blessed shall you be. There's 15 verses on blessings, and there's about 40-some verses on the curses. And the Bible says all these curses will come upon you because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and with cheerfulness. Joyfulness and cheerfulness stops the curse from coming to your house. Passion will shut the devil out of your life. But if we miss one church service, it's easy to miss two. If we miss two, it feels better than miss three. And it feels better and better. And we lose conviction. We're losing passion. Paul said, don't be slothful or have a loss of passion. So you have to fight and stir that stuff up in you. It can happen to preachers. It can happen to me. It can happen to anybody. I want this to be the most passionate time of my life. I'm going to stir myself up with the word of faith. I'm going to stir myself up with the scriptures. I'm going to stir myself up with love for my future wife. I'm going to stir myself up for the things of God. I'm going to stir myself up to believe God for everything he said I could have. I'm going to stir myself up for the anointing to be strong in my life. Because when you come to my service needing healing, I want you to leave with it. When you come needing something, I want to have enough fire on me to get on you. Amen. But if my fire has gone out and now I'm just smoking. Yes, smoke is evidence that there was a fire there, but there ain't no fire no more. And then you stick your hand though. When the smoke is gone, then you just warm. And then you let that go, you'll grow cold. But if you just fan, anybody say fan? Oh, yes, you got to stir it up. Stir it up. You got to stir it up. Stir up yourself. Stir up the gift of God which is in you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, one of the main ways you do it is through praying in other tongues. I want to encourage you to take advantage of your Pentecostalism. Take advantage of that. This is a spirit-filled church. This is a word of faith, tongue-talking, spirit-filled church. And we should embrace Pentecost. We should be expressive in tongues. You are as strong as your prayer life is. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Go to Jude chapter 1, Jude chapter 21, Jude chapter 1. The book of Jude chapter 1, verse 3, Jude says, "And brethren, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." He said, "I wanted to write you a nice little letter." Jude chapter 1 verse 3. He says, "Brethren," he says, "I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation." He wanted to give them a nice little quiet letter, but something happened. The Holy Ghost got involved. Are y'all out there? Now, I come too far to preach 30 minutes. Amen. I leave tomorrow. I mean, I'm a long way from the house. Perk up. Let's get this. Let's get some. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now notice what he said. Notice what he said. "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Earnestly contend for means fight for. We're living in a generation where right is wrong and wrong is right. We live in a generation where they want to make you think that you're the oddball and we're right. It's right for men to marry men and women to marry women. It's right to smoke dope. It's right. It's right. They make the Christians feel like we're wrong and the world has rights and we don't have any. Everybody has rights now. Everybody has rights. Prisoners have rights. Everybody has rights. This person has rights. There's gay rights. There's women's rights. Everybody wants rights, but they're taking the rights away from the Christians. You can't pray. You don't have a right to pray. You don't have a right to use the name of Jesus. You don't have a right. They're taking the rights from us and giving them to the world. So Paul, a Jew, is writing. He said, are y'all listening?
Yes.
I'm telling you to earnestly fight for the faith which was once delivered. It's still right to live right. It's still right. Marriage is still good between a man and a woman. It's right not to lie. It's right not to curse. It's right. It's still right to love your neighbor as yourself. It's still right to do right. But if you listen to people and the media and the press, they'll zap all of that out. You'll start thinking worldly. But Paul told Jude, he said, giving all diligence to fight for the faith that was once delivered. I'm fighting for the word of faith. Right now, it's common to go to the doctor and take medicine. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with doctors. Nothing wrong with taking medicine. But I tell you what, there was a day when God raised up some healing preachers where people came to the house of God first to be healed. They considered God's word first before they considered the doctor. When you go overseas in different remote countries where they don't have hospitals and civilization and a lot of modern technology, they believe God faster than we do because of convenience. It's easy to go to the clinic because we got one on every corner. But when you go to places that they don't have the convenience, they'll believe God out of desperation. And so we have to fight for this faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We have to fight for the word of faith. Giving all diligence, he said, contend for the faith. Now, how do you do it? Well, look at the 20th verse. And ye, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, and keeping yourselves in the love of God. That's one way, not the only way. One way to stir yourself up in God is to pray in other tongues. It's to pray in the Holy Ghost. Are you listening to me? I don't mean when you come to service and say, Shikamo Shai, pass them on by. Give me the keys to my Honda. No, banana. Then you sit down and say, well, we worship God. It's been 12 minutes. Banana, varamanama, keys to my Honda, Shikamo Shai, pass them on by. And you sit down. I'm talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. Anybody say praying in the Holy Ghost? I don't mean once in a while. Well, I prayed Thursday last week. Well, that's good. But the bad thing about it is it's Thursday this week. I had eggs for breakfast yesterday. I love eggs for breakfast. Two eggs, scrambled. Easy, cheese on top, two pieces of bacon, piece of wheat toast. Could eat it every morning. But you know, breakfast last Thursday don't do much for me this morning. Amen. You know, I can't get full from the memory of eggs. I have to eat them again. You eat them every morning. Well, I ate breakfast in 1993. Yeah, but you'd be dead for 95 if you don't eat no more. Amen. You got to keep eating. I said you got to keep eating.
Amen.
I said you have to keep eating.
Amen.
Glory to God. Well, I tell you, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost back in 1991 on Friday evening. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. No, well, you may have gotten filled with the Holy Ghost, but that doesn't mean you're full of the Holy Ghost. It's one thing to get full. It's another thing to stay filled. Say amen.
Amen.
You can put water in a glass. This water, you can leave this water here day after day after day, and eventually the heat is going to absorb it and Well, now, it's true that this glass is full or was full of water, but in another week, it's not full anymore. You got to keep pouring in. Are you listening to me? See, you may have been filled, but you got to stay full. See, Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine. Are you listening to me, Brother David? Be not drunk with wine, wherein is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking. Well, how do you get filled with the Spirit? You got to say something. You got to say something. You can be filled by singing. You can be filled by confessing the Word of God. You can be filled by praying, or you can be filled by speaking. But if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not going to be quiet. You're going to be saying something, speaking to yourself in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual psalms, singing, making melodies in your heart unto the Lord, giving thanks unto the Father for all things, because this is right. Hearing your pastor up here doing worship service, he was singing in tongues and praying in tongues. I tell you, it's one thing to listen to somebody else sing, but it's another thing for you to sing. Faith will come to your heart if you do some singing. Being filled with the Spirit, speaking and singing and praying and giving thanks. Hallelujah. Speaking and singing and praying and giving thanks. Being filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Building myself up on my most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I like the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible says, rising like an edifice, making progress higher and higher in the Spirit. My God, I love that. When you pray in tongues, you're making progress. Somebody says, well, why are you speaking in tongues? I don't understand what you're saying. Well, that's because I'm not talking to you. If I want you to understand what I'm saying, I say, how you doing, Grace? Fine. Doing fine. How's the weather? Fine. The weather's fine. How's your mom? Doing fine. Well, you would understand I'm talking to you, Grace. But the Bible says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, 14:2 Corinthians, speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. He's speaking divine secrets. He's downloading divine secrets. He's downloading mysteries. He's praying out, the Greek says, divine secrets. God didn't hide them from us. He hid them for us. When you pray in other tongues, you're strengthening, you're building up, you're exercising your spiritual man to be strong in an ungodly world. Say amen.
Amen.
If you baptize in the Holy Ghost, let's pray a little bit. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Come on, help me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now somebody said, "Woo! I don't know what I said, but it sure does feel good." There's something down on the inside. You're edifying yourself. He that's speaking in an unknown tongue edifies himself. He charges himself. It's spiritual download. You're cultivating. You're stirring yourself up. You have to do that all the time. Keep yourself stirred up. Now, you see, if that was hard for you to do, that's because you hadn't been practicing it. See, you don't have... I noticed when I... Are you listening? I noticed when I said, come on, let's pray with me in tongues. I noticed I got a hesitation. Yeah, I got it. I saw this in here. I noticed, I said, let's everybody pray in tongues. And I noticed people started positioning themselves like... I noticed some people closed their eyes. And they had to... Listen, you don't have to close your eyes and get prepared to talk to people, do you? If I walked up to David and said, how you doing, Brother David? He wouldn't close his eyes and say, I'm doing fine. No. He doesn't have to get in a position to talk. Well, now, how come? Because it comes natural. He's talking all the time. Well, if you talk to God all the time and pray in the Holy Ghost, you don't have to prime your pump. Your pump's primed all the time. Say amen. Amen. You just stay ready all the time. You can just get in the spirit all the time. You can just start praying all the time because it'll come easy to you. And you'll keep yourself strong. Flies won't land on a hot stove. Keep your stove hot. Be aglow, burning with the spirit, serving the Lord. Never lag in zeal or earnest endeavor. Romans chapter 12, verse 11. But be aglow, burning with the spirit. Burning with the spirit. Burning with the spirit. Serving the Lord. How do you do that? Keep stirring yourself. Get back in the word. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Sing to yourself. Or hang around somebody that's stirring. Don't hang around somebody that'll pacify your unbelief. Don't hang around somebody that'll put up with you the way you are. A friend is somebody that'll accept you the way that you are. A mentor and a coach will not allow you to remain the way that you are. Amen. They'll pull you higher. Amen. I like to hang around people that challenges my faith. I like to hang around men that challenges my morals. Amen. Keep me stirred up. Keep me accountable. I don't sit at the table with a bunch of ministers that's looking at every woman that come in the restaurant. I won't sit at the table with a bunch of ministers who's filled with the Holy Ghost and walk in holiness, and if that'll put you in check. Amen. I don't want to hang around people that don't know the Bible. I want to hang around people that challenges my theology. Pull me up higher. Amen? You get anything out of this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Stir up yourselves. There's more. We're coming to the greatest time we've ever had in church history. Amen. And I want to be prepared for it. The greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost will hit this planet. The church will finish stronger than it started in the book of Acts. We're coming into signs and wonders and miracles. There is a transfer of wealth that's coming from somewhere, somehow, from some direction. And then there's an outpouring of great grace on the church with great signs. We gave witness to the resurrection of Jesus. And there's a great outpouring of financial increase in the church. And I want to be prepared for it. I want to get in the spirit. I don't want to just live in my mind. I want to live in the spirit and keep myself stirred up in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Bow your heads. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you this morning. We thank you for the word. I pray that grace would you come to the... Keep Morton, help me, please. I pray in the name of Jesus that this word helps us to begin to stir ourselves up for more revelation, more manifestation of your power, more manifestations of your glory, more wisdom and insight to stir ourselves up, to be led by the Spirit, to be sensitive to the inward witness, to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Ghost. Father, I pray for every one of these people in the name of Jesus that they stir themselves. Now, Lord, if there's any here under the sound of my voice, Pastor, I don't know if I have time to do it. I don't know if I have time to do it. But if you're here this morning, you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit gives utterance, then you can receive that. The Bible says in Luke 13:11, Jesus said, I'll give the Holy Ghost to anybody that asks. Anybody that asks can receive. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is a weapon that the Father has given us to combat, stand against the forces of darkness. It is a prayer language directly to the Father that prays the mysteries of God into your spirit. It bypasses your mind, your intellect, and get right into the spirit. If you're here this morning, I know I haven't really been long. This may be long to you. But it takes time to get things to you. It takes time to cook a good meal and prepare it and then to serve it properly. It takes some time to build a thought. If you're here this morning, you say, Brother Strader, I'm not baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've always wanted to be, but I'm not. I would like to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. The evidence of speaking with other tongues. I'd like to receive that. Or you may be here this morning. You may say, Brother Strong, I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost. I've spoken with tongues seemingly a little bit a while ago, but I just can't get my flow. I just can't get my full utterance. I can't seem to get my utterance to come. Well, thank God the utterance can come this morning if you want it. If you want it. Now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here this morning and you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, with the scriptural evidence of speaking, the ability to pray in the Spirit or speak in other tongues, raise your hand now. If you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, I see that one. Thank you. I see that one. Thank you. Anybody else? If you're not or have not been baptized with the Holy Ghost, I see that hand. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you. Now, if you're here this morning and you've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, but you're having trouble praying in tongues, let me see your hand. Raise your hand. That's what I'm. One, two, three. Anybody else? Four. You're having trouble with it. Five. Six. Thank you. All right. All right. Everybody look up at me. I'm a long way from home. I'm leaving tomorrow. And I love you. I thank God for this pastor. I have to think highly of him. I asked him to come marry me. You don't ask people to do that. That's an honorable thing. He'll always be in my life regardless. And I want to leave a deposit in you. I want to deposit something on the inside of you. You can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost this morning. Easiest thing in the world. Easiest thing in the world. The only thing you have to do is want it. The only thing you have to do is believe. God will do the feeling. If you do the believing, He'll do the feeling. But I'm going to lay my hands on you, just like the Bible said. Paul told Timothy, he said, don't neglect the deposit that's in you that was given to you through the laying on the hands of the presbytery. I'm going to lay my hands on you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And the Mangala Sapakasosko, Elevif Rafisishinoroko for Baranda, if Restesto. Now there's coming a greater light. Greater light. Greater light will come in the name of Jesus. And so you're in a different flow. And so there's another door that's opening now. And you'll walk through that door, but walk wise with caution, circumspectly, as wise. And from that door in 2016 of January, then you'll walk into more doors and you'll see more. You'll understand more your calling. You'll understand more your position. And so walk through that door by faith and listen on the inside and I'll lead you. That's where the Holy Ghost does reside, on the inside. So this is a different day for you. Amen. Father, as I lay my hands upon him, I stir up the gift of God within him. That's why you all are here. There's an anointing here. I stir up the anointing. I stir it up for ministry. I stir it up for service. By the laying on of my hands, may there be a deposit necessary for this next move. For the anointing that's in me and upon me, may it make a deposit on the inside of them. Oh, they'll know it by the Holy Ghost. They'll know it by the Holy Ghost. That deposit is being made now for the next move. For the next move, for the next flow, in the Namanda Prasata Costa. Yeah, in Jesus' name. Amen. That's why I was on your heart. That's why the Holy Ghost was admonishing. That's why he was sending me this way to do this. Because you would receive, because your faith level was high. So receive the anointing. Thank you, Lord, for the impartation. Thank you for the impartation. Now, if you're here and you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost, I want to ask that you get out of your seat and come up front. Meet me around front. Make a straight line right across the front here. It won't take me long. If you come believing, it won't take me long. If you come believing, it won't take long. So come right now believing. Come stand right up here. Stand right up here. Make a line. If you raise your hand and you want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost, speak with other tongues, just come make a line. If you're baptized with the Holy Ghost and you're having trouble speaking with tongues, you come make a line right here. There are several people raise their hand. Get out of your seat now. Come down. Meet me down front now. Meet me now. Meet me now. Come on, there was some more. Some more. Raise your hand. You raise your hand. You need to be down here. We're not going to drag you. We're not going to make you. You raise your hand. You need to come. If you want to receive, come. Now, if you don't want to receive, stay in your seat. Because the people that come, you're going to receive. You're going to receive. Thank you, Lord. You're going to receive. You're going to receive. Hallelujah. Just make a straight line right up here so I can get to you. Make a straight line. Come on, sister, right here. Come on, you get right here. Hallelujah. Now, one way to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost is through the laying on of hands. The Bible says in Acts chapter 19, the sixth verse, Paul found 12 disciples on the coast of Ephesus. And the Bible said he laid his hands upon every one of them, and the Holy Ghost came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. That's all I'm going to do. There's an anointing here. God has anointed me to do this. When I lay my hands upon you, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. And he's going to fill you from heaven. It's going to come down like water. It's going to fill your belly. It's going to fill your belly. It's going to fill your belly right in there. Utterance will come right there. Utterance will come right in your belly. Utterance will come right there in your belly. Utterance will be right there. Jesus said, out of your belly, out of your belly, your innermost being, out of your belly shall flow. Not out of your head. Get out of your head. Get out of your head. Don't try to conjure nothing up in your head. Just receive. You just come to receive. Say that out loud. Say today. Say today. Today, I will receive. Say, Lord, I have come to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. According to the Bible, with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, as the Spirit gives me utterance, today I will receive. You told me in your word that you would give the Holy Ghost to them that ask. I'm asking, Lord, pray it. Say it, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I believe you heard me. I believe I have received. I am now baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I can speak with other tongues as the Spirit grants me utterance. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to lay my hands upon you. I'm going to come down this aisle, lay my hands upon you. When I do, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you. You're going to start speaking. In the name of Jesus, be filled. That's it. Open your mouth, be filled. You got it? Be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. That's it. Out of your belly. Out of your belly. Out of your belly. That's right there. That's utterance. The Bible says with stammering lips.